and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios, and presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. Titans minicamp wrapped up today. TD at the top of next hour. He was there today. It sounds like it wasn't a good day for Cam Ward, but we'll let TD tell us what he saw, not just today, but also over the 3 days, and we'll do that at the top of the hour, which, of course, we're looking forward to here on the program. I was there for day one, was on Sirius the last 2 days, so I'm not going to pretend that something happened because somebody told me it happened that I didn't see. We'll just go right to the source when TD gets here at 4 o'clock. So this Jeffrey Simmons discussion, I now think is kind of comical. Again, I think Simmons should have been at OTAs. I think it was disrespectful to the team that he wasn't there at OTAs. I don't think he had a valid reason not to be there at OTAs. And that's all, at this point, I guess, water under the bridge. Who cares? But the one thing that really pisses Jeffrey Simmons off is whenever you ask Jeffrey Simmons why he doesn't get more sacks. And when you ask Jeffrey Simmons why he doesn't get more sacks, he basically tells you, I'm doing my job. I'm getting double teamed. Everybody else needs to do their job. Again, he doesn't say it like that, but read between the lines. That's what he's saying. And so Brian Callahan was asked yesterday about Jeffrey Simmons and his double teams because, again, the Jeffrey Simmons, I get double teamed media. And I know I look like some butthole every time I complain about it, but I'm getting double-teamed, as if Aaron Donald never saw a double-team in his entire career. Jeffrey Simmons has now made the double-team thing such an excuse that it's now filtered its way to the head coach. And here's what Brian Callahan had to say about these double-teams. And we're going to play this cut once. We may have to play it again, but go ahead, David, play the cut.
He talks a lot about being double-teamed. Mm-hmm. Isn't every good defensive tackle in the league constantly double teamed, and aren't most of them overcoming that on a regular basis?
I think it's a little more nuanced than that. Sometimes yes, and sometimes no. Most really, really good interior players are getting a slide to them most of the time, so they have to deal with that. But I think one of the things that we can do a better job of, collectively up front, is our rush, you know, working together better. Those things are areas of improvement for us, to where when you are getting double teamed, someone else is taking advantage of that opportunity and finding ways to get one-on-ones. You can structure your front different ways to keep slides off of guys, and you can structure your rush package to game off those slides. So I think we can do collectively a better job of putting guys in position up front to have more opportunities, and Jeff should benefit from that. Again, I think that's part of what I talked about earlier, just that outside linebacker group and defensive line group working together more often, meeting together more often, so we can do a better job balancing our rushes. We can do a better job gaming our rushes and getting guys in position to get one-on-one. So that's on us coaching wise too, to do a better job of that. So yeah, Jeff's going to get double teamed. He's not going to win all of them. Then there's going to be times where we got to help him find opportunities to get one-on-ones.
Okay. David, how long was that cut?
About a minute and a half.
Okay. I want to go over this again, because, again, PK's question was, there's a lot of talk about Jeff and these double teams. Well, shouldn't Jeff beat the double teams? So let's start again. This is Callahan. Let's start this cut again, and then we're going to stop it, and we're going to go over some of the things that he said.
He talks a lot about being double teamed. Mm-hmm. Isn't every good defensive tackle in the league constantly
yes.
double teamed, and aren't most of them overcoming that on a regular basis?
I think it's a little more nuanced than that. Sometimes yes, and sometimes no.
Okay. First thing he said right there, you know, I think it's a little bit more nuanced than that. You know, again, we're sitting here saying, hey, shouldn't Jeffrey Simmons beat double teams and sack the quarterback? And he's saying, well, it's a little bit more nuanced than that. It's really not. Again, Aaron Donald probably got double teamed on every play. There's probably 50 to 60 defensive snaps. It's not like Aaron Donald got 60 sacks a game and beat the double team on every play. It is just that occasionally Aaron Donald beat the double team and then would sack the quarterback, and he would do that once or twice a game. Again, that's what you're asking Jeffrey Simmons to do. You're not asking Jeffrey Simmons to get a sack on every play. But again, this is what drives me crazy. is this part right here about, well, it's more nuanced than that. And then Callahan's explanation towards the end, David, if we could, towards the end, where Callahan starts talking about how, you know what, they need to meet together more. They need, as coaches, they need to emphasize it more. They need to work on it more. They need to blah, blah, blah. Let's play the end of this cut.
We can do a better job balancing our rushes. We can do a better job gaming our rushes and getting guys in position to get one-on-one. So that's on us coaching-wise, too, to do a better job of that. So, yeah, Jeff's going to get double-teamed. He's not going to win all of them. Then there's going to be times where we got to help them find opportunities to get one-on-ones.
Okay. So here's the real problem. Again, Callahan just said a bunch of words there about, well, you know, there are times with our rush lanes where we got to meet so that we're all on the same page, so that we got to blah, blah, blah. You want to know why the Titans don't get more sacks? And do you want to know why Jeffrey Simmons doesn't get more sacks? Because the players they have on their team aren't good enough. That's why they don't get more sacks. Did you hear that? That wasn't a minute 30. Callahan's not going to say it. I don't know if Callahan knows it because, again, the Titans went out, added Draymond Jones and Femi Oladejo, and that's it. I mean, between the two of them, I think they equal Harold Landry's 9 sacks last year, and that's including sacks at UCLA. It's a little bit harder when you get to the NFL. But the Titans didn't actually do anything to help Jeffrey Simmons get sacks if Jeffrey Simmons himself is not going to beat the double team. And I know how important and how disruptive a legitimate defensive tackle, I mean a big old baddie in the middle, can be, because I watched Albert Haynesworth send an entire secondary to the Pro Bowl in 2008, and he only had 8.5 sacks. I mean, Albert Haynesworth led that team, and he only had 8.5 sacks, but everybody was getting sacks because Albert Haynesworth was such a monster. Number one, Jeffrey Simmons is not Albert Haynesworth. He does not play like Albert Haynesworth. What's crazy is he could be, but he's not. But the second thing, and this is the thing that really bothers me, is I feel like Callahan and Denard Wilson and everybody else, they have to come up with these long explanations as to why the Titans don't get more sacks. So they make it sound like it's some sort of arithmetic that's over my head. It's like sticking a calculus book in front of me and saying, find me the tangent and the cosine. What? How? How do I do that? But again, it's really not that complicated. It's sacking the quarterback. The Titans keep trying to explain this to us like we're morons that don't get the concept of, if Jeff Simmons is doubled, then other people need to go sack the quarterback. And that's because last year, if Jeffrey Simmons got doubled as much as they said he did, nobody else went and sacked the quarterback. So last year, we kept saying, why doesn't Jeff sack the quarterback more? Because, again, we're expecting Chris Jones, and we're expecting Aaron Donald, and we're expecting this type of high-end player with the way they treat him. And they kept saying, oh, well, Jeff is doubled. And I think, again, all of us logical, rational people kept sitting back and saying, okay, well then shouldn't we expect somebody else to be sacking the quarterback? If Tavondre Sweat is 360 pounds and eats up the middle and Simmons is getting double teamed, shouldn't there be two edge rushers just coming off going after the quarterback? And with the Titans, it's like, well, no. It's a little bit more complicated than that. No, it's not. But the problem is the Titans don't have people on their team that can sack the quarterback. So if Simmons is getting a double team and Sweat's eating up the middle, then the edge rushers should be going after the quarterback. The problem is your edge rushers stink. And what did the Titans do in the offseason to fix this problem? They didn't do anything. They cut their leading sacker, Harold Landry. So without his 9 sacks, the Titans had 23 sacks last season. Draymond Jones had 4. Femi Oladejo had 4.5 in college. So that's all they did to change the people around Simmons. Other than that, it's the same people. Tavondre Sweat, Arden Key, Jalen Harrell, James Lynch. It's the same people. Sebastian Joseph Day. It's the same people. And so Callahan says, because, again, changing the personnel is no longer an option, And expecting Simmons to play better is no longer an option. So now the only thing he can come up with is, well, we need to get on the same page and we need to have meetings and we need to talk about it. Meetings are not why you didn't sack the quarterback last year. And then I have to ask, if meetings are why you didn't sack the quarterback last year, why didn't you have some meetings? Or why didn't you fire the defensive coordinator who apparently didn't coordinate enough meetings? That's all they've got. Is that long-winded explanation of, well, it's more complicated than just Jeff didn't beat the double teams. And it is slightly more complicated. It is Jeff didn't beat the double teams. The other guys on the team weren't good enough to make up for the fact that Jeff couldn't beat the double teams, the same way Denico Autry could make up for when Jeff didn't beat the double teams. And we didn't do anything this offseason to go out and get anybody out there to go beat the double teams. So now our hope is meetings. That's our hope. Does anybody else think that is so incredibly stupid? Or is it just me? Again, for all you people out there that have wondered, wait a minute. If Tavondre Sweat gets doubled on every play and Jeffrey Simmons gets doubled on every play, why are there not more edge rushers coming free? And the answer is not scheme related. It's talent related. It's because the guys that they pay to sack the quarterback stink. And then they've done nothing to fix it. There's your answer. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. Gentry Estes wrote a column about Jeffrey Simmons and about not being at OTAs and needing to get more sacks and everything else. And I was just thinking about this the other day, because apparently I'm the bad guy now. As Jeff Simmons said, I'm the butthole when it comes to talking about Simmons not being there. Couldn't this have been really easily avoidable? All of the Simmons issues the last couple of days. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106 for the game.
What do you expect of him against double teams? Premier defensive tackles around the league.
Right. Well, look, is this, when you get a double team, and if you know how to work, how the four guys work up front, it's four against five. When you get the slide, all right, it's always either you work an edge or you work to split them. Because you got to understand this. Sometimes you have to split them, and the other guy gets the one-on-one. If you don't split them, now it's a hole where a quarterback can escape. So, like I said, Jeff's going to win, and he has been double-teamed and won on double teams. But we have to do a better job up front, rushing together, being four against five, all right, against their front, and then presenting certain packages to make it easier for him to win. Jeff's going to win against anybody. Jeff's a dominant football player. Every team in the International Football League would love to have 98 lineup on their defensive line.
There you go. That was Denard Wilson sitting there saying, you know what? Jeff's so good. Everybody wishes they had him. He's going to get his sacks. He's going to – again, that sounds great. Here's the problem. He doesn't get the sacks. Again, the Titans act like there's some sort of answer to this. Like, hey, we didn't get any sacks last year, and we cut our leading sacker – and we drafted a guy in the second round who might be good, but again, he had 4.5 sacks last year in college. But trust us, we have the answers. It's like, no, here's the answer. The guys on your team last year weren't good enough to sack the quarterback. You didn't really go out and get anybody out there who's going to go get the sack the quarterback, so you're not going to get sacks this year. Like, do you understand that? You're not going to get sacks this year. Unless Femi Oladejo is everything in a bag of chips that they expected him to be. But they have to talk all these words because they have to, I guess, convince themselves that they might get sacks this year. I mean, it's crazy. And here's the other thing on the Jeffrey Simmons front that I do want to touch on, which is the issues with Jeffrey Simmons this week. Number one, we're talking about how he gets double teamed all the time. Why are we talking about how he gets double-teamed? David James, do you want to take a stab as to why we are talking about the Simmons double teams, why Gentry's writing about it in the Tennessean, why Paul's asking about it. I'm sure Paul's going to have a story about it, but why Denard Wilson's talking about it and Brian Callahan's talking about it. And it's, hey, well, shouldn't he be beating these double teams? What about these double teams? Do you want to take a stab as to why this has become such a discussion?
You know, I'm just going to take a stab at this. I'm pretty sure just because Jeffrey Simmons is making a lot of money for this team.
And he's making a lot of excuses.
Exactly.
And that's his excuse. So Simmons makes the excuse of, well, I'm double teamed. They game plan against me. Which then leads to going out to other people saying, so, you know, well, aren't you supposed to beat that? Aren't you supposed to, isn't that what the money's for? To David Jane's point. And then on top of it, the other story surrounding Simmons was his absence from OTAs and what it means about his character, which I don't think very much of. But you want to know how you avoid all this? This is just simple. And I'm sure Simmons has a PR firm, and I'm sure that they're just doing a bang-up job. But how difficult would it have been for Simmons when asked about the sacks? He knows he got 5 sacks last year. I know he got 5 sacks. You know he got 5 sacks. We all know he got 5 sacks. It's not as if it's some sort of secret. It's not like Tavondre Sweat's weight where it's hidden under lock and key and none of us can figure it out. I mean, there's about 18,000 websites that tell you that Simmons sacked a quarterback 5.5 times last year. So how difficult would it be for Simmons with the microphone in his face instead of saying, well, I get double teamed all the time. Ah, boo-hoo. How hard would it be for Simmons to say, hey, you know, I paid a lot of money on this team to go after and get the quarterback, and last year I didn't do it enough. And so this year I'm dedicated to doing it, and we're going to work together, and we're going to find a way because we know we have to get after the quarterback. How hard would that be? How hard? Stick a microphone in front of my face. Jeffrey Simmons, why aren't you getting more sacks? You're paid $23.5 million. Why are you not getting more sacks? You're right. I need to get more sacks. How hard? And at the same time, how hard would it have been for Simmons to just show up on one of the days of OTAs so that it's not a story? If Jeffrey Simmons shows up on the first day of OTAs and talks to the media about, you know, this year we're all bought in, and this year Coach Cali and Denard and we've all worked so hard, and I, you know, got to meet Cam for the first time and he's so great, and this is, and he does that and then doesn't show up the rest of OTAs, it's not a story. But again, Jeffrey Simmons is so unaware of really, it feels like, how life works, but I guess of how the media works, that he just goes out there, makes a, you know, complains and cries about double teams, and now we have to have all these discussions about, well, wait a minute, if you're getting double teamed every play, why isn't somebody else sacking the quarterback? And now every coach has to answer, and every teammate has to answer, and every, when you could have just said, hey, I paid a lot of money to sack the quarterback, and I didn't do it enough last year, and this year I've been focused, you know, we as a group are focused on making sure that we collectively sack the quarterback more. You know what that's called? Accountability. You know, the thing that Brian Callahan was trying to develop all offseason when Simmons wasn't here? That's what that's called. 615-737-1025 here on the program. 615-737-1025. One texter says the coach is right. They have to do other things to scheme Simmons to get one-on-one sacks. Basically like using a twist and different stunts to manipulate the front. All seasoned football coaches know that, but not your average fan. So then why did he keep the coordinator? If they didn't do any of that last year, if they just said, hey, Jeff, go beat the double team, and Jeff couldn't beat it because they didn't use twists and they didn't use games and they didn't use stunts and they didn't do everything that, again, seasoned football coaches, why did they keep the defensive coordinator? That's what I'm saying. Did they not meet last year? You know, now they're talking about we're going to have meetings. Did you not have meetings last year? Again, unless Harold Landry was the stupidest player on that defense, and I have a hard time believing that, All they did was get rid of their leading sacker and replace him with four sack Draymond Jones and college kid. 4.5 sacks. Boy, the text line is giving the business to Denard Wilson. Jared from Spring Hill says, more meetings and more corporate jargon trash. Callahan's meetings seem to have the same level of effectiveness as Michael Scott's. You know what this reminds me of back in the day with Floyd? Is whenever there was something like, oh yeah, you know what? We need to change this. Whenever somebody needs to make a big change, do you know what they do? Unless somebody is just a really strong leader that knows that their decision is going to anger some people and they'll just accept it and live with it. Do you know what everybody does whenever they're making a big change to an organization? They put together a committee. And Floyd used to every time go, the committee, ha, 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 we need another committee. We need a committee to figure that out, ha, 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 ha. When I hear, you know what, we need more meetings. You know, this year we're really going to sack the quarterback because we're going to have meetings. That's when I'm like, okay, meetings. Meanwhile, the entire offseason, I was like, you need an edge rusher. You need a sacker. You need to sack the quarterback. If you remember, last year I complained extensively about right tackle, and I was proven right on that. But the other thing I complained about, again, extensively, was the fact that, well, quite frankly, they didn't replace DeNico Autry's 11.5 sacks. And everybody told me that Tavondre Sweat, who never sacked a quarterback in college, that was going to be the replacement for DeNico Autry. But the problem is, they never replaced those sacks. Well, here we are today. DeNico Autry has been a Texan for 2 years, and they still haven't replaced those 11.5 sacks. Again, you've got to go get those sacks somewhere. Maybe it's Oladejo, but now you're replacing DeNico's 11.5, and you're replacing Landry's average 10 sacks a year. So now you got to replace 21 sacks. Good luck. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. More of your phones on all of this. And I got to tell you, the amount, and the gaslighting is not the right word, but this idea that it's more complicated than it needs to be is really a joke. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106 through the game.
You know, somebody in his mold is never going to be Jeffrey Simmons in terms of his body type and his role. What is a reasonable next step for him to be more impactful in the pass rush?
Well, you know, I think, you know, he's mastering, you know, his craft of what to do, his primary, secondary move. You know, he has a better feel for what works well for him. So I think that as long as he keeps pressing himself and getting better and better at one or two moves, you know, he'll get in better shape this offseason. That's one of the things we talked about, dedicating himself to transforming his body, becoming, you know, lighter on his feet. Because when you watch him, he can do everything, you know, from the standpoint of, you know, being a big man, how big he is, he can do everything. But just getting in better shape, fine-tuning his craft, working on the moves that work well for him. And then ultimately he uses his power. So if he gets a one-on-one, he can power rush anybody there is. And collapsing a pocket will help the defense.
There you go. That was Denard Wilson on Tavondre Sweat. I'll give him credit because he didn't come out and say it, but it kind of feels like he said it. Where this time last year, the Titans were like, no, we think there's something there where we can develop Tavondre Sweat into a pass rusher. And now they're like, yeah, you know, he's never going to have the body type. Callahan made a similar comment where he was like, yeah, Tavondre Sweat's really a first and second down player. But, you know, we'll work on him as a pass rushing and we'll, you know, we'll see. And Denard's like, well, he's got his power so he can collapse the pocket and that'll be good for other people. Tavondre Sweat had one sack last year. One sack. Again. I don't know where they're getting sacks from next year. They had 32 last season, or 30, excuse me, 34 last year? No, 32 last year. And Harold Landry led the way with 9, and they cut him. So I don't know where they're getting the sacks from, other than they're going to have some more meetings. Joey from Bellevue says, does it mean, listening to Denard Wilson talk about one-on-ones, that Tavondre Sweat can't win one-on-one? Well, Joey, you just heard. He can fine-tune his technique and he can just push the guy backwards. You know, a couple of years ago, the Titans played in the same season. This was 2022. They played the Vegas Raiders at the beginning of the year when the Titans were good, and they played the Dallas Cowboys at the end of the year when they were very bad. And in that stretch, there was a guy, I think his name was Jonathan Hankerton. And this guy was a big old fatty. I mean, he was fat. And so what the Raiders did when they played the Titans was they took this Jonathan Hankins and they just stuck him right over Aaron Brewer at 270 pounds. Jonathan Hankins was 6'3", 325. And so they just stuck him. He's been in the NFL since 2013. So he's got one job, and that is to be a big old fatty. He's got 18 and a half career sacks, and he's been in the NFL for 12 years. So he is a true nose tackle. Again, this is why you don't use the 38th pick on a nose tackle, because you can just go get Jonathan Hankins whenever you want. But so they stuck this big old Jonathan Hankins right over Aaron Brewer, and he just pushed him back and got to the quarterback. Then he was on Dallas later in the year, and I'll be damned if they didn't do the exact same thing. So that's what the Titans need to do with Tavondre Sweat. Stop having fantasies about Tavondre Sweat being a pass rusher and just say, hey, you go collapse the pocket, and then you look at the edge rushers and you say, hey, if he try, he can't step up because the fat boy is going to push him back in there, and he's going to run into a guard if you do that. So he's going to try to run backwards out of the pocket, then you got to sack him. But then the question goes back to the edge rushers, and that is, can you actually sack them? One texter says, Jeffrey Simmons is like a Major League Baseball player who destroys fastballs and complains every time someone throws him a curveball. You know, I would say the real difference is Jeffrey Simmons is more like a Major League player who was hitting third and fourth in the lineup, but he had some really good protection behind him. And he had guys that would get on base for him, which meant he was getting good pitches to hit. And then when DeNico Autry left and Harold Landry slowed down and Arden Key stunk, all of a sudden, you could just pitch around Jeffrey Simmons. You know, I'll never forget, I read Chipper Jones' book, and Chipper was talking about when he got to the major leagues. He was the first overall pick, and he was the top prospect, and he gets called up to the major leagues, and Bobby Cox is hitting him third on the Atlanta Braves, who had won two pennants and three NL East titles, and he's hitting him in the middle of the order. And Chipper said he didn't totally understand it at first. You know, why would you take me, a 23-year-old rookie, and hit me third? And then he realized, wait a minute. If you have Marquise Grissom hitting ahead of me, the best leadoff man in baseball, he's going to be on base. And because he's a threat to run, they're going to throw me a fastball. And if you've got Fred McGriff and David Justice hitting behind me, bona fide all-stars, well, they're not going to want to have to pitch to those guys with a bunch of runners on base. So, again, they're going to give me something to hit. That's what Jeffrey Simmons had in DeNico Autry. I mean, again, I kept yelling and screaming, and I couldn't believe it when they let DeNico Autry go. In fact, I asked Rand Carthon a question before the start of the 2023 season, and I said, are you thinking of extending any veteran players under contract now? Because the time that deals get done for guys that are headed into their last year is before training camp and before the start of the season. And you want to get a deal done because your only leverage with that player is, well, if you have a down year or if you get hurt, then you're not getting any money and you're going to have no market. So that's your leverage, but you're paying, again, this would have been in 2023, you're paying the 2023 price and not the 2024 price. And a lot of people thought that was about Derrick Henry. And I was actually really asking about DeNico Autry. Because even though DeNico Autry was old, I'm like, hey, you need DeNico Autry. Because I always felt like DeNico Autry and Bud Dupree when he was healthy and Harold Landry before the knee, I always felt like that was a great batting order. Where, again, okay, fine, you know, you pitched, you want to double-team Simmons? Well, here comes DeNico, and he's going to get to the quarterback. Oh, you want to worry about DeNico? Well, here comes Bud Dupree. And the Titans have gotten away from that. And until Oladejo, they really haven't drafted anybody to go in there and fit that mold of lineup protection for Simmons. Because Sweat's not that. He's a first, second down player. One texter says, you are completely right. Manipulating the front with stunts and twists is completely on the defensive coordinator, and if I was Callahan, I would have fired him last year after the season that they had, or at least put him on the hot seat. Well, I mean, Denard Wilson's going to be here as long as Callahan is. So if Callahan gets fired at the end of the year, so does Denard. But I believe, and the Titans believe differently. The Titans believed that Brian Callahan needs to be more involved in the defense. I believe Brian Callahan needs to be less involved in the defense. I believe Brian Callahan should have hired Lou Anarumo from Cincinnati when he got fired, fired Denard Wilson, and said, Lou, here's the defense. Bones, here's the special teams. Instead, it's like, well, I thought I could give Denard the defense. I thought I could give Colt Anderson the special teams, and they sucked. So now I need to be more involved. And I think it's the opposite. I think it is you need to get rid of both of them and go get veteran, experienced guys that will not only know what to do and have called defenses and have run the meetings and have done all of that, but will also tell you what you need to know. You know, instead of this, oh, I can coach it. We just need a meeting. I can coach it. Instead of that, you need a guy that says, like, hey, Brian, we don't have anything on the edge. Like, we need something. Cody says we've got three edge rushers. What are we doing? What do you mean three edge rushers? One texter into the text line says, I feel like the Titans have some really bad teachers or really bad coaches, guys that don't have a clue. I think the Titans have really inexperienced coaches that may not be cut out for the positions they're in. Some of it may be, you know, a developmental thing where Jim Schwartz sucked at first, and then Jim Schwartz became Jim Schwartz. But when it comes to Denard Wilson, I kind of feel like Denard is just a lot of hot air. Like he's just a lot of sunshine and rainbows and lollipops. And his persona doesn't come off that way. But again, listen to him talk. We played those cuts yesterday from last year where he was like, hey, Arden, when we heat up, he'll start heating up. And Kaharski just replied back, well, isn't he going to be part of the reason? Like, if you heat up, it's because of guys like him. Yeah. And all the kowtowing to Simmons. Somebody texted into the text line yesterday, and I didn't read it, but I've actually thought about it a lot over the last couple days. It does kind of feel like the way that Callahan and Denard Wilson talk about Simmons. They talk about him like they work for him. Like he's their boss. It's really odd. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. TD at 4 o'clock. How was Cam Ward's day? We know there were some interceptions there, but how did it look? We will talk to TD about that. I actually do. You know what? I want to get into my Cam Ward interception take, so we'll do that next. 615-737-1025, Stillman & Company, 1025, 106 for the game.
What would you say your confidence level is before this break heading into training camp?
10.
You ever had a 4, a 5, or a 6, and when did you get to 10?
I'll probably never get that low. Even if I, you know, throw a 4-book game this year. At the end of the day, I'm a gunslinger. I live by that. I always die by it. So, Coach Callahan know what type of guy he has in the quarterback room and me. So, you know, I'm just thankful that I got guys around me to help me out, along with B.A., Bradley, and Brandon and Will. And Tim in there, they helped me out a lot, you know, just getting me right with the protections. Then also the receiving corps, they're going to be able to, you know, compliment my game a lot.
Cam Ward, a.k.a. Brett Favre. You know, hey, I'm a gunslinger. I'm going to throw that ball in there, and I'm going to show them, and I'm going to – let's just hope that Cam Ward allegedly treats people that are poor in Mississippi better than allegedly Brett Favre did or did not. I do say this. So apparently Cam Ward threw some interceptions today. I'm not going to pretend like I was there. TD will be with us at the top of the hour. TD was there, so we'll hear what TD says when it comes to how Ward looked today, throwing the football and the interceptions and everything else. Gentry did text me and said that Cam Ward had a couple of interceptions today in the red zone, and they were his first kind of screw around and find out moments, that he would run out of ideas running around and then would turn around, just throw the ball on the other side, and there was a guy just standing right there to pick it off. You know, which sounds like rookie-ish stuff, but again, I didn't see it. But here's the one thing I'm going to say when it comes to the Cam Ward interceptions today. Because I'm sure there will be a lot of people that say, hey, interceptions happen. He's just a rookie. It's just mini camp. It's just, and I'm not saying that's not true. But I also, 2 days ago, watched Cam Ward go 20 of 21, and I said, hey, look fine. Look good. Solid. Thumbs up. That one, by the way, he didn't complete was an interception. But I kept saying, you know, okay, good, fine. Yep, thumbs up. Boom. I didn't get over my skis when it came to Cam Ward going 20 of 21 in practice. But boy, I saw some podcasts out there from people who weren't there. And it was, oh my God, did you see? In fact, I didn't do that. James, that wasn't my yell when someone loses their pants over. It was, ah, did you see Cam Ward? He was dealing today at minicamp. Let's go record a podcast about it. Did we see it? Nope, we didn't. But let's go record a podcast anyways. Ah! Again, I didn't do that. I saw that and I was disappointed, but I understand, like, content creation is content creation, and some people just say whatever because they'll get the clicks or whatever. And they want people to pay attention to them. And that's the way you do it, is just by pretending that something that you know nothing about, you know something of. And so these people that weren't there were talking about a day in which, again, PK said he looked solid. I said he looked fine. And they would, ah! And I'm just going to say this. If you were like that 2 days ago, and you were like 20 of 21, ah! Then you have to be absolutely, completely mortified by Cam Ward throwing interceptions today. Again, I'm not. Just like I wasn't losing my panties over Cam Ward throwing 20 of 21 2 days ago. But I'm also, I wasn't there, so I'm not pretending like I'm going to tell you what it looked like or what it didn't look like. But I'm just saying, if we're going to be intellectually honest on this program, and we're going to claim intellectual honesty in real life, then don't you have to be completely depressed and mortified? Justin Graver, don't you have to do a podcast today about how Cam Ward threw interceptions? I mean, you didn't see him, but you did a podcast the other day reacting to 20 to 21. You didn't see that. I mean, that's like the young guys that PK called out the other day when he said, like, hey, why did I have to be the bad guy to ask Simmons the question when you guys are going to have your podcast and you guys are going to talk about Simmons and you guys are going to, and PK, and they said to PK, and again, I don't know the context of what was said because I wasn't there, but they apparently said to PK, yeah, we're just going to let you ask the hard questions because we don't want to be the ones that have to ask it. And I'm talking about those two guys that Paul called out. And they were like, Easton tweeted out yesterday, you know, are they going to talk about me more on 102.5 The Game? I'm like, dude, that's bad what you did. Basically admitting like, yeah, I don't want to get on people's bad side, so I'm not going to ask the hard questions. And again, if Paul, if you didn't say that to Paul, if you didn't say it, then I apologize. But if you did say that, like, that's bad. Aren't we shooting for, again, intellectual honesty, integrity? Aren't we shooting for that? So again, I expect to see the podcasts coming out about how terrible Cam Ward was today, even from people that didn't see him. Even I have no idea if Cam Ward was terrible or not. I'm not pretending it. But if you pretended 2 days ago that Cam Ward was Superman, then you now have to do the same thing when apparently he reportedly didn't have as good of a day, even though nobody that wasn't there saw it. You think they'll do that?
Probably not.
Of course not. Of course not. One texter says, content creators making podcasts about Cam Ward's good day in minicamp is the same thing as you doing four segments of radio about Aaron Rodgers building a home in Nashville. No, these are two totally different things. First of all, I had the facts about Aaron Rodgers and him building a home in Nashville and him telling people that he was going to be living by, that he was open to playing for Vrabel and the Titans. That was a fact. In fact, it was such a fact that it made its way to ESPN, where they had the panel sitting there talking about it, where Stephen A. Smith is opining on it. That's real information. Now, again, I didn't say Aaron was joining the Titans. I said Aaron had bought a house, and Aaron was telling people that he was open to playing for Vrabel. That is, in fact, what happened. That's new information. I had it. I reported it. This is taking information from somebody else, you not really knowing what happened because you didn't see it, and then you saying, ah! That's the difference. LD from McMinnville says, are you jealous of the podcasters? I mean, I don't want to sound rude and conceited, but I'm not really jealous of the podcasters. I feel like everybody that has a podcast, unless you're Joe Rogan or Alex Cooper, I think most people that have podcasts would rather be on the radio. And especially when it comes to sports. And I'm going to tell you why. Because sports and news talk are the two things that, even though you can record and you can play back later, it's not the same as when it's live. Live callers, live reaction, live, you know, and I firmly believe that on a Monday at 4:30, you want to get in the car and you don't want to download and log in on your phone. You just want to get in the car, click a button, and hear somebody tell you why the Titans screwed up. One texter says, it was raw land, Jared. By the way, I'd like to know, you know, did Aaron Rodgers ever actually go through with the move and actually move in to Williamson County? I mean, did he actually move? I mean, again, buying a house for Aaron is really not that big of a deal. You buy a house every day of the week. But did he actually move? Because apparently he actually got married. Okay, I was not at minicamp today. I have no idea what those Cam Ward interceptions looked like. TD was his reaction to Ward today and Ward over the 3 days. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106 for the game.